Now I'll read today's Bible passage. It's from Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20. Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are." When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. That is all. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to worship you today. In our daily lives, Lord, we know that you give us all that we need. We also know that you are always at work and that you provide us with the way we should go. Lord, we ask that you will allow each and every one of us to know you in a much deeper way, and that we can enjoy this worship service along with the Holy Spirit working in us. Allow us, Lord, to be guided by you. Please use this time to watch me this morning and watch over Pastor Anjiki. We pray in gratitude. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's hot every day, isn't it? And it's already past the summer solstice, but it's still... Sorry, play on words in Japanese. It's hot. Let's turn our hearts toward God's word. In Osaka University, there's a professor by the name of Professor Matsumura. And his specialty is focusing on mechanics, a special kind of mechanics, in that when a human comes against a problem, finding a device so that they can be allowed to enjoy trying to solve it. For example, in France, there was this park at once where there's just trash everywhere, and everyone would just toss anything out anywhere and wouldn't take it home, and so they didn't know what to do. So first, they tried putting several garbage bins in the park, but there weren't many people who put the trash in there, and it didn't really help at all. So this professor was trying to come up with some kind of device or way to get the people to throw the trash in the trash can. And so he did. What he did was that he made this device where the sound would be go, "Phew, bong," when you would throw a piece of trash in the trash can. And everyone wanted to hear that. So they were just having a great time throwing trash in the garbage. And they would pick up other people's garbage even to throw it in the trash cans. And this all of a sudden solves the trash problem. So this is the type of work that this professor would do. Of course, he's a professor at Osaka University. But in trash cans within the university, they would put up basketball hoops above the garbage cans, and then the students would try to throw trash in that way. So he was really creative, and in this way the university became quite clean. When I heard about this, I was really interested because I realized that humans really only do what they want to do. Even if you know something and is good that you should do, you don't want to do it if it doesn't appeal to you. However, even if there's something you don't want to do, if it's really interesting or fun, then all of a sudden you want to do it. In other words, because we have a freedom of choice, we can use it, and we can use it in the way we want to. It really brings upon happiness. God created the first human, Adam, and when he did so, he gave him the freedom of choice. In other words, God allowed him to be able to either follow God or to disobey God. He gave him both options. And this is actually a great gift from God. When Adam obeyed God, he was blessed in abundance. And when he didn't, then, of course, you could also make that choice. And in that way, it actually causes problems. The worst option, of course, is to deny God and to not believe in God and not to follow God and just outrightly deny his existence. And this is the worst option for using your freedom of choice. And this is actually referred to as a sin in the Bible. And we explain that this means to miss the mark. I don't want you to be confused, though. In the Olympics, for example, right now, there is a shooting event. And people who get the gold medal obviously hit right on the mark. But the people who miss the mark obviously don't get the medals. But this isn't what the Bible's talking about for sin. It means to not even make the mark. It's like falling short every time of it. And this is what is referred to as sin. Regardless of how much effort we make, if we can't, there's no way we can meet the mark that God has for us to be perfect. And we can see also that forms of criminal acts are also examples of sin as well. As for us, we have been given life by God, and God desires to bless us. To ignore such a great God will not allow us to become happy by any means. The God of the Bible tells us that he didn't just give us life, but he also desires for us to have a good life. And he also wants to help us in such a way. But if we just ignore God and try to be happy on our own, then, of course, everything we do will be useless. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." You can see here that God wants to bless us. He wants to answer our prayers. However, because of our sin and iniquities, that blocks that blessing. If we use our freedom of choice in an inappropriate way, it unfortunately means that God can't do these wonderful things for us that he would like to. If we use our freedom of choice and do it and use it in a way that pleases God and follows God, then we can receive blessings in return. But when we use it in a way that doesn't please God, all of a sudden God's blessings become quite limited. Today we're looking at the life of Abram and Abraham. As we were looking before, we see that to follow God means, at least for Abram, that he was able to receive great blessings, and he was promised even that his descendants would be blessed. In today's passage, it's talking about a time when Abram actually used his freedom of choice in a bad way, and that caused problems. Looking once again at verses 9 and 10, it says that Abraham set out and continued toward Negev. Negev was actually in the southern area of that place near Egypt. They were coming down from the north, and they've already, you can see he's already made it to Negev. And there, that's when the famine happened. And so it says, now there was a famine in land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. So he was guided all the way to Negev, but then there was a problem. There was a famine. But right next to it, in the next country over, in Egypt, it was abundant in food and other resources. So as for a judgment point, this was a good decision to go to an area because Abram had a lot of servants and he had a lot of responsibilities. So if he was in an area that had a famine, then he should take everybody to a place where there is no famine. There was no problem with that decision in and of itself. However, the issue is that when he was going to Egypt, there he became involved in a big problem. And why did this problem occur? Well, here he realized that he wasn't sure whether he should actually go to Egypt. And looking once again at verse 9 and 10, it doesn't indicate that he consulted God about where he was supposed to go or when he was supposed to go. And that's, but he had so far moving south in the area. When he always went to a new place, he always did something, but he didn't do it in Negev. And what is it that he didn't do? He didn't put up an altar to worship God. As he had always done in other locations, he always put up an altar to worship God. However, when he got to Negev, it doesn't say that he didn't. It doesn't say he did that. And he made a human type decision to just go to Egypt. He didn't see if that was the will of God or not, but just tried to resolve this problem or decision on his own. So there was a problem to start with that. Why is it that Abram didn't ask God what to do, and why didn't he put up an altar? It's possible that he was wavering in his faith. He had been on a long trip, and he finally made it to Negev. He thought he was already in this promised land, and he figured that he was probably just already okay on his own. Sometimes faith crises can happen at any time, and it can lead people away from God just a little bit at a time. And when you look back, you're like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? As amongst you, there's many of you who drive, and perhaps you've heard of the Heinrich's Law. Heinrich is actually a person who lived in the U.S., and he was a worker at a non-life insurance company, and he took a lot of data on massive fatal accidents, and this is what's referred to in the Heinrich's Law. What this Heinrich's Law is referring to is that small traffic violations and accidents over a period of 29 times lead to one, at least, massive fatal accident. So small violations could be like not stopping at a stop sign or to park in a non-parking zone, for example, or to just kind of rub against a car or go a little bit over the stop line at an intersection. So these are things that wouldn't really impact someone's life necessarily, but these small violations and accidents over a period of at least 29 times actually lead to fatal accident. So small, poor decisions can lead to something very bad. It's kind of similar with faith as well. if you have doubts or you're like, well, I don't feel like going to church this week, so I'll just skip it. Or, well, I see mana has come out on my cell phone, but I'm going to pass on reading it today. Or I should go serve at the church, but I don't feel like going. So these type of small decisions to step away from God can all of a sudden, when you look back, realize that they lead you to a great problem in your faith. So it's possible that this was what was going on with Abram. He was possibly in some form of a faith crisis. Looking at verse 10, it says that he went to Egypt to live for a while. So he was like, well, we'll just go to Egypt for a while. It's not that we'll be there forever, but we'll just go there for now. And so he's like, well, maybe thinking, oh, maybe this was God's heart for us. Perhaps that was what was going through his head. However, when he went nearer to Egypt, there was a big fear that came into his heart. And that was that because he didn't know whether God wanted him to go there or not, he didn't know exactly what to do. Because in those days in Egypt, if someone loved somebody else's wife or thought highly of her, they could just take her. And so, and that was just the way the custom was. And so when he got into Egypt, he became worried about his wife. His wife, Sarai, was about 65 years old. However, she was quite beautiful and looked a lot younger. And so Abram became concerned for her. In light of that, he came up with this disguise tactic that's mentioned in verse 13. He says, say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. Wives, if your husband said that to you, what would you think? Would you be happy? It's like your husband's trying to sacrifice you for his own well-being. In the custom of that day, unmarried women were not allowed to choose who they wanted to marry. Their father would choose. And sometimes people would make these decisions. And if the dad said yes, then you just had to follow. And so if both of the fathers of the two families agreed, then that would be the agreement. If there was no father, then in place, the older brother would have the same authority. So in order to make this... Abram realized that if he went to Egypt, then someone could easily take his wife away. And there would be a lot of discussion about, in that case, about how much money would be transferred and so on. And he figured that if he just said that she was his sister, that he could avoid all this. However, for Abram, who believed in God, this was something he should have never done. There's actually two problems with this decision. One is that it was a lie. It wasn't a complete lie in that Sarai was actually had the same father as Abram, but a different mom. And so it wasn't that she was totally unrelated, but it was still not true. Because he should have said, she is my wife. And fortunately, he said that she is my sister. The second problem with this is that is something that came from Abraham's unbelief. He didn't have conviction that he was following God, and so he started to make a decision based on his own discernment. In this way, unfortunately, he was doing something he shouldn't have, and it came to be a problem in verse 15 when it says, and when the Pharaoh's officials saw her, Sarai, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken to his palace. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, and that was what kings were called in those days in that area. And this Pharaoh, king, looked at Sarai and officials, sorry, the officials saw her, and they didn't even consult Abram and just took her. They didn't even try to make negotiations. They just stepped over Abram and as it was to take her. However, Pharaoh did give Abram something in return. In verse 16, it says, he treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram required sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels to get sheep and cattle. And it not just like one or two, but it would have been like several tens of these animals. So he would have gained instant possessions. It wasn't in that society, they didn't have like money. They had slaves or animals and livestock and so on. So he would have just all of a sudden gained a lot of possessions here. And it says that they were taken to him. But he lost his wife in this. He gained a lot of possessions, so it seems like he was doing good, but he lost his wife. And because of that, it actually hurt him and kind of strangled him in a sense. He, in one aspect, had a great success with gaining all of these things, but then it actually worked against him. Because the second point is that with all of these possessions and slaves and animals, then he wasn't able to go on being with his nephew Lot because he had too many things. And Lot had come with him, and he was planning to go with him. And it was his nephew, of course. Lot's father had passed away, and so that is why Abraham had brought him with him in place. But he realized he would never be able to be with Lot again because he had too many possessions. There was too many sheep and cattle and so on to be in the same area. There wouldn't be enough food for the animals. Because of that, they had to go separate ways. And this is one of the tragedies as a result of this. The second thing is that the female slaves he received were, amongst them was one by the name of Hagar. And Sarai, in the end, would end up coming back to him, of course. But there, and God had promised between Abram and Sarai there would be many descendants. However, there hadn't been one until by this time. So Sarai told Abram, when we went to Egypt, we got all these slaves. Amongst them was this one by Hagar. And I want you to have a child with her, and then we can pass on our lineage through her. And Abram said yes to that. Between him and Hagar, there was a child born by the name of Ishmael. And then after that, there was a promised child by the name of Isaac that was born between Abram and Sarai. And the present Egypt people are descendants of these children. And so this goes back to this passage today. And according to this thing that he decided to do, all these tragedies came upon him. It may have been a human success, but it wasn't a success in the eyes of God. And in light of that, it caused actually other serious problems. Abram's unbelief didn't impact just himself, but also impacts his future generations even today. If she had stayed where she was in Pharaoh's palace, then God's promise would have not come to pass. It would have just gone away. So you can see how the devil always tries to get at God's plans. And you would know for sure that, of course, he was behind this. However, God isn't a God that just lets the devil do whatever he wants. And so God intervened. What did he do? Well, in verse 17, it says, But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. What is it specifically that happened? It doesn't actually say. But according to Jewish tradition, they say that there was a serious skin disease that came upon people's entire bodies. So in light of this, God came in a vision and then also he was found out that actually this was not Abram's wife but his sister, and in this way Pharaoh started to become very scared. And what did he do? It says in verse 18, so Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me? He said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Verse 19, why did you say she is my sister? Like, why are you, God told me she's not your wife. Why are you telling me she was your sister? And if this was the case, it's not strange that, Abram would have been killed right on the spot. Because Egypt was the strongest country at that time, and Pharaoh was the strongest king. He was a dictator. He could have just killed anyone for any reason at any time. And he was angry here at Abram. However, Abram was left untouched. In verse 19, he says, take her and go. And he was able to also take all the livestock and slaves and so on. And you can see in this way that this king was very angry, but also just wanted nothing to do with Abram anymore. So he's just like, get out of here. You can see how God truly intervened. Looking once again at verse 17, but the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. This trouble that took place here was something that Abraham had created. It was because of his disbelief and unbelief, and he ended up causing this. However, God didn't just get back or deal with this with Abraham, but many people in Egypt. As for us Christians, we face various trials in our lives. And in the Bible, it explains that any Christian will face trials, and any person who's not a Christian will face a judgment. But for Christians, we don't face judgment, we face trials. And these trials aren't to like take down Christians, but rather to actually further strengthen the faith of Christians, and that is their purpose. As for Abram's faith, he had unbelief. But if he had been taken out, then that would have just been pointless in a sense. However, God was showing Abram that his unbelief actually can cause problems by inflicting problems on the people in that area. In our lives as well, in Christian lives, there are problems we have to face. There's trouble we have to deal with. However, those things aren't to just bring us down, but rather to strengthen our faith. Faith is defined as our relationship or trust in God. Even if we can't physically move, or we can't hear, or if we can't see, we can still grow in our faith. Because our faith is something that can be strengthened and grow even till the minute we die. And our faith can continue to grow even as we get older. And that's something to hear that Abram would have learned. When we face various things, we maybe realize or wonder, God, why am I praying for all these things and I don't see any answer or assistance? And there's things like that will happen to all of us, times like that. However, God always is asking us still, in a sense, will you still trust me? Will you still believe in me? In other words, there may be a time lag between what you see and what you're praying for. For example, the sun is quite hot now in the summer. And the shortest time of when there is sunlight is usually around December 22nd or so. It's the winter solstice. So that means that after the winter solstice, then the amount of sunlight each day as slowly becomes longer and longer. And the amount of sun and energy from comes to the earth in greater amounts. For those of us living in the earth, we don't feel that it's all of a sudden becoming warmer, though. Actually, we feel that it's getting colder after December in January and February, and that's when it snows, right? So you'd wonder, why is there so much sunlight headed toward the earth that all of a sudden the earth is becoming even colder? Why is it that that happens? Well, there's air around the earth that is very difficult to warm up, and that's why there's a time lag. So what is actually going on is that there's a lot of sunlight headed toward the earth, but those of us in the earth can't feel that. We just feel that it's getting colder. And this is kind of like somebody who's going through a trial. They may feel that everything's getting worse and worse, but God is already sending blessings and resolution to the person, and he's already intervened. So you can see there's a time lag in what God's doing and what you sense. And God is always asking us at times when we're facing different trials whether we truly do believe in him regardless. Will you still believe in me? Will you still trust me? Will you believe that I am a loving God? He's constantly asking us. And that is what he's trying to do, is strengthen our faith. God is a God who's a professional at strengthening us. He's never going to make a mistake. When you are dealing with professionals, they're different from just regular people or amateurs. For example, on June 5th, 2016, in Besançon, France, there was a McDonald's there, and there was an incident that happened on that day. There were about 40 customers at the McDonald's on that day. And here in this area of Japan, we call it Mac. And in Osaka, they say Makudo. And in English, it's McDonald's. Anyway, so there's about 40 customers in McDonald's at that time. And there was these two armed robbers that came in. And one of them had this huge gun. And when they got in, he shot it off to the roof of the McDonald's. And so he told everybody, get down. So all 40 customers were alarmed and went to the ground instantly. And they stole about 240 million yen, which is about 2,000 euros, from McDonald's and ran off. However, amongst these 40 customers, there were 11 who were actually the elite paramilitary officers of France. And what was their job? They would deal with like a terrorist and so on. And so, and actually 9 of these 11 had guns with them. But they went down on the floor just like the other customers. And so after the armed robbers left, they got up instantly and they got one of them off of the staircase. And this other one shot the guy in the foot to stop him. And they were able to actually get both of them. So why isn't that they wouldn't have, these officers wouldn't have gotten these, armed robbers instantly? I mean, it's like they could have. They probably could have done that. And then the customers wouldn't have had to face this, difficult situation. So why is it the professionals waited? Well, but you may figure it out in that these professionals didn't want to get the general public involved in it. They wanted to make sure that the general public was safe before they took action. That's what professionals would do in such a case. And you know, just anyone who doesn't understand this situation would have possibly thought, oh, they should have shot him right to begin with. However, that isn't how professionals deal with such situations. They make sure that everyone is safe first, and then they deal with the actual perpetrators. In the same way, God is a professional of professionals, and he has the best plan for us to strengthen us in our faith. And he is one who can be completely trusted at all times. And through what we learn from Abraham, we can see that his unbelief caused problems, and that may be the case for us in our lives. However, through the difficulties we face, it's not something that is going to take us down, but rather strengthen us. So regardless of our circumstances, we can always trust God, and we can always have faith in him. So let's continue to trust God regardless of what we're facing and become giants in faith. Play on words, sorry. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to learn about Abraham today. Thank you for allowing us to remember that you are always desiring that our faith will be strengthened. We face all kinds of different trials in our lives, but allow us, Lord, to remember that these are opportunities for us to grow in our faith. Allow us, Lord, to continue to be strengthened and encouraged by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll have a moment to pray together in silence. And let me pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements and we'll close. We also have two locations in the front and the back for communion today as well. First of all, we would like to welcome visitors. Please stand when your name is called so we can welcome you.